Welcome to Gemara Markings. Tishur is Yevamos Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on the second line from the top of Daf Yud. You'll notice that we have some triangle markings, and in fact we're in the middle of this series marking, which indicates we're in the middle of a discussion. So a brief recap of the discussion involves where we saw in our previous shiur, Levi had presented a question to Rebbe: why does the Mishnah list 15 arayas that exempt their co-wives from the need for chalitza nibum when there's a 16th example, imoy anusas oviv, which is a case where a man had raped a woman, and from that he produced a son, and the son had a brother, and the brother married that woman and died without children. So the mother of that son, which was the product of the rape, is now confronted with his mother as a yevoma. Why was that not that example included in the Mishnah? So we saw an answer that Imo Anusa Sava was a subject of a machloikis, whether a man's son can marry at all a woman that the father had raped. In order for us to create a yibum scenario, it would have to be that the son of that man, of the man that raped the woman, would have married her. Since that's a machlokis, so it's not to be included in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah does not deal with controversial cases. We then raised a question based on a brisa authored by Rabbi Chiya, where we saw that the Mishnah does deal with controversial cases, referring to the case of Ochiv Shelo Hoya Eishes Ochiv Shelo Hoya Ba'ilamo. Of course, we're talking in very abbreviated terms because we're simply recapping our previous shiur, but that example of Eishes Ochiv Shelo Hoya Ba'ilamo, in order to align that with the formula that we saw in Reb Chiya's source, you would have to say that that works out only according to Rebbe Shimon and not according to the Rabbonan. So you see that our Mishnah, which was elucidated by that brisa, does deal with controversial cases. So that is the point that we more or less left off with in our last year with the first answer to the question, and that simply was that Rebbe does not subscribe to the formula that appeared in Rebbe Chiya's brisa. Now we continue. Number two, Rav Ado Karchino Kamei d'Rav Kana Omar Mishmei d'Rava. So Rav Ado, quoting Rava, says, notice we have a long answer, the second answer to that question posed to Rebbe based on the Reb Chiya source. The answer was Le'olam Islay Le'Rebbe Hani Kloli, that Rebbe does subscribe to the Brisa of Rebbe Chiya, the rules taught in there, which would have led us to believe that our Mishnah, which is elucidated by that brisa, does deal with controversial cases. And the question then was, why wasn't Imoy Anusas Oviv included? The Hachi Ka'omar Le, and this is what Rebbe said to Levi, the case you are suggesting to add to the Mishnah, Imoy Anusas Oviv, Bechado mishkachas lo betarti lo ko mishkachas lo. It doesn't fit in to the formula that Rebbe Chiya presented in his brisa. and therefore it doesn't belong in the Mishnah. Once again, Rabbi Chiya presented a brisa with a formula involving two sisters that fall to two brothers in Yibum, and that and we say that the one that's usher to this one is mutter to that one, and the other one that was usher to this one is mutter to that one. Of course, we saw illustrations of that in our previous shiur. But that formula, which does serve as the basis of our Mishnah, does not work out with your suggested case, the case of Imoy Anusis Aviv. And that's what the Gemara means when it says it works out only in one of the examples, and either or, we should say, not in both. And here the Gemara explains. Once again, I know we're sounding a little repetitive, but if you haven't gone over our previous shiur, this Gemara will be very hard to understand. But he says as follows. If you recall, we said that the formula stated that in all of the arayas of the Mishnah, we could set up, you would have two sisters falling to two brothers, and the one that's usher to this is mutter to that, and the one that's usher to that is mutter to this. However, with the case of Imoy Anusis Aviv, you'll see it doesn't, both rules don't work out. E Yankiv Shtei Achoyas Onas. If Yankiv, and here we have a chart, notice on the side of the Gemara, you can follow the words of the Gemara along with the chart. If Yankiv had raped two sisters. So you see on the chart, Yankiv has raped Rachel and Leah, producing a child, Levi and Yehuda. And Yankiv himself had another wife, a normal, regular, married woman, that he had married, producing two sons, Reuven and Shimon. So you have the example of Yankiv marrying, raping, we'll say, two sisters. So, achoisa shehi avimta mishkachasla, the scenario of two sisters, which are both yevamos, that you have. In the case we just saw here, so Reuven and Shimon had married Rachel and Leah. However, ho asura lozeh muteres lozeh loy mishkachas lo. But to say that the one that's usher to this is mutter to that, you do not have that over here. Because let's again look at the chart. When Reuven and Shimon die, so Rachel and Leah fall to whom? They fall as Yibum to Reuven and Shimon's brothers from the same father, which of course is the rule of Yibum, only when they're brothers from a common father. So with the death of Reuven and Shimon, where do Rachel and Leah appear? They appear in front of Levi and Yehuda. Can you say that the one that's usher to Levi is muteris to Yehuda? In other words, can you say that the mother of Levi is Rachel? So Levi certainly cannot marry Rachel in Yibum, that's his mother. What about Levi's marrying Leah? No, he can't marry Leah either, because that's Achois Imo. They were two sisters. It's his mother's sister, and mother's sister is an erva. It's a woman that he cannot marry. So we cannot say that the one that's usher to this is mutter to that, and vice versa, because both women are usher to both men. Rachel and Leah are both usher to Levi and Yehuda, either because it is his mother or it's his mother's sister. So the case of Hasura Lazet, Muteris Lazet, doesn't work out, even though we have a case of two sisters falling to Yivmim. We continue. Ve'i shtei nochrios onas. If Yankiv, instead of having raped two sisters, he raped two unrelated women, so then we can say, that when Yankiv had raped the two unrelated women, if you're using the same chart, just have to switch in your mind, Rachel and Leah are no longer sisters, they're simply two unrelated women, so Levi would not be able to marry Rachel, that's his mother, but he would be able to marry Leah, who was a woman unrelated to his mother. And likewise, Yehuda, he would not be able to marry Leah, but he would be able to marry Rachel. So as far as that aspect of the formula, Hasur Lazem Uteres Lazem, that works out. However, Achosa Shiyavimto Lo Mishkachas Lo. But the other aspect of the formula that we saw in Reb Chiya's source, two sisters that are both Yevomois, that you do not have. Therefore, just to review, Rava's answer to the question posed by the Reb Chiya's source to Rebbe, the answer is that the example that Levi had suggested of Anusas Oviv doesn't fit in to the formula presented by Reb Chiya. Number three, Rav Ashi Omar, Li'oilom Les Lei L'Rebbe Hani Kloli. Rebbe does not accept the rules stated in the Reb Chiya formula. Ubeplukta komairi. And the Mishnah does deal with sources that are controversial. So then, if that's the case, then let's take it. Imo Amusas Aviv. Is Imo Amusas Aviv bound by Reb Chiya's klolim, Reb Chiya's rules? No. Rebbe, who stands behind our Mishnah, he doesn't accept Rebbe Chiya's formula and rules in order to define what is appropriate for our Mishnah. So granted, Imo Anusas Aviv doesn't fit into Reb Chiya's formula, but Rebbe doesn't hold from that formula anyway as a basis for establishing our Mishnah. And as far as the issue of Imo Anusas Oviv being controversial, that wouldn't have stopped Rebbe from including Imo Anusas Oviv either, because Ubeplukto Komairi, that was the second point here, that the Mishnah does speak about controversial cases. So the question then is, why did Rebbe react to Levi as follows? Umay kimeduma ani she'elo moyach bekod kodo dekomale. Why did Rebbe react so violently, so impatiently to Rebbe, to Levi, that is, by saying this man, by suggesting that our Mishnah should include Imo Anusas Aviv, is like someone that has no brain in his skull. Omar Ochik Omale, Rebbe was saying to Levi as follows. You want the Mishnah to include Imo Anusas Aviv as an example of a Yevoma that will exempt her tzora. My time aloidaikis masnisin. Why didn't you read the Mishnah carefully? The masnisin rebiudahi. The case of our Mishnah is in accordance with the Tano Reb Yehuda, the Osar Banusas Aviv. Our Mishnah does not tolerate the example of Imoy Anusas Aviv. Once again, in our Mishnah, you have a brother dying, leaving a widow without having had any children, and the surviving brother is confronting the widow who is an erva. But that presupposes that the deceased brother was able to marry that woman. However, in the case of, let us say, a man raping a woman and having, let us say, a son from another woman, the case of the standard case of Imoy Anusas Aviv, so you've got Reuven and Shimon that are brothers from a common father. Shimon is the son of a rape victim. Reuven according to Rebbe Yehuda, could not have married that woman, the woman that his father had raped, because our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. Being that that's the case, so the example of an erva, this erva, Imoi Anusis Aviv, falling to her son in Yibum, doesn't get off the ground, because Shimon's brother, Reuven, could never have married her in the first place, because our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. Dikotoni, how do we know that our Mishnah does not allow Imoy Anusis Aviv? Because a Mishnah later on, Adaf Yud Gimel, says, Sheisha Royas Chamuros Me'elu. There are six more severe types of forbidden women, and what we mean by forbidden, more forbidden, mipnei shein nesuos la'achirim, where all the six women featured in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel are examples where, let us say, in the case of the Reuven Shimon brother relationship, Reuven could never have married those women either. And in order to discuss a case of co-wife, the six women featured in the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel would have had to marry an outsider, not one of the brothers. And as a result of that, so a person could have a situation where one's mother has there's a co-wife, a man, an outsider, is married to two women. One of the women is an erva to the surviving brothers. But it's not a Yibum situation. It's simply a man, an outsider, who had married the erva, and he, this outsider, had a co-wife. So when that outsider dies, the erva's co-wife is muteres to the brothers. And Imo Anusas Aviv figures in that Mishnah and not in our Mishnah. Therefore, Levi's suggestion to include in our Mishnah is incorrect. And how do we know that our Mishnah holds like Rebbe Yehuda? Because it says that there are six more severe arayas, and in order to create a situation with them and construct the situation of a co-wife, they would have to marry an outsider, achirim. And as such, sorosehen mutoros, the co-wife is mutter. The only time we speak about a co-wife as being restricted in marriage is when you're dealing with a yibum situation. And they include Imoi, V'eshes Oviv, V'achois Oviv. There are more, but this is an abbreviated quote. And in this quote, it mentions one's mother. My Imoi, what is meant by one's mother? Ilema Nisuas Oviv, if it's another term for a woman that was married by one's father. Hainu Eishes Oviv. That's already included in the Mishnah there on Daf Yud Gimel. It says that one's father's wife, not necessarily his mother, but it's his father's wife. So if the mother spoken about in that source was in fact a woman that his father had married, that's already included under the heading Eishes Oviv. Elolav Anusas Oviv. Rather, the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel, when it mentions Imo, it's talking about a woman that was raped by the father. A father raped a woman producing a son. Vikotoni, and it says in that Mishnah, Mipnei Shehein Nesuos L'Achirim, that rape victim. And if we speak about the case of Reuven and Shimon was produced by their two brothers. Shimon was produced by a woman being raped. So Shimon's mother had to, in order to speak about her co-wife, we can set that case up only if she married an outsider. Le'achirim in, le'achin lo. she couldn't have married Reuven, and therefore to continue a discussion concerning Reuven's other wife, a co-wife of Shimon's mother, in a Yibum situation. The Mishnah there indicates she would have married an outsider, but not one of the brothers. Man shamislei dislei high svara. Who holds that a particular woman, or specifically the case of Imo Yanusis Ovid, could not have married one of the other brothers? Rabbi Yehuda to Osar Banusis Ovid. That conforms to the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Reuven, another son of the rapist, another son from another marriage, cannot marry the woman his father raped. That's Rabbi Huda that says Anusas Aviv is off limits to his other sons. And as a result of that, you won't have a case of a mother falling to her son in a Yibum situation, namely his brother dying, leaving no kids, but leaving the mother of the surviving brother. That doesn't get started. Mishum hachi lo toni lei. And therefore, it's not taught in our Mishnah. And that is the answer to Levi's question as to why Imoy Anusis Aviv was not in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is authored by Rebbe Yehuda, who says that Imoy Anusis Aviv is the Anusis Aviv is usher to all of the brothers. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a new marking, and on the side we have, under the Mivneh, the structural note, a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back-and-forth, give-and-take type discussion, with the narrow part facing up. They represent she'elos, questions, and inverted represents tshuvos, responses. Omar le Ravina le Rav Ashi. Ravina presents a question to Rav Ashi, le Rabbi Yehuda nami, according to the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, that says that a man's son cannot marry the woman that he raped. The Rabbi Yehuda nami mishkachas lo de'i ovar v'nosiv. Imagine that Reuven did something wrong. Ovar, ovar means he did an avera. He sinned. That he wrongfully married the woman that his father had raped, which produced a son, Shimon. And if he had violated the halacha and married her, and then Reuven died leaving no children, what happens? That woman falls to her son in Beibum. She's now in front of her son, Beibum. So the case of Imo Anusis Aviv, even if our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, could have been included. Answer, Rav Ashi answers, De'i lo kotoni. Our Mishnah is not interested in presenting contingency cases, or de'i means if, it's an abbreviated expression, de'i ovar, cases where there was violation in order to set up the Yibum scenario. Amale Rav Ashi, the Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi now presents a question. It's interesting to note the give and take we had, assuming that this Rav Ashi that we're seeing now is the same as Rav Ashi we saw before. Rav Ashi before was answering a question. Now Rav Ashi is presenting a question, but to someone else, to Rav Kahana. Beloi de'i nami mishkachas law. Even without setting up a case where the deceased son had married the woman that his father raped, we can still set up a case of a mother falling to her son in Yibum. And here we have the following. Now, the emphasis once again is, even without setting up a case of the son violating the halacha and marrying the woman that his father raped. So what's the case? Now this is going to be a very unusual case because it involves sin, but not the case of the son having married the rape victim of his father. What's the case? Yeah, and here, by the way, we have a chart, and try to follow the Gemara text along with the chart. Yankiv onas chalosoi v'hoylid mimeno ben. Yankiv had a son. His son is Reuven, who was married to a woman. The woman in the chart, Isha, that is called chalosoi. That's Yankiv's daughter-in-law. Yankiv raped his daughter-in-law, and they produced a son, and that you can see is listed on chart Ben. Reuven and this Ben are brothers. They have a common father. Umeis Reuven v'loy bonim. Reuven died leaving no children. V'nofla lo kami bra. With Reuven's death, the wife of Reuven, which is Yankiv's daughter-in-law, she falls beyibum to none other than her son. So here you have, as far as the Anusas Oviv is concerned, was not married illegally by his son. His son had married the woman before the father raped her altogether. It was a legitimate marriage. And with Reuven's death, he has a brother from Yankiv. And the woman that is falling to Yibum is, in fact, his mother. We should point out, as you can see on the chart, Reuven has another wife, Tzora, co-wife. And we say as follows, Umigu di'ihi asira, and since the mother of Ben is Aser, Tzorasa nami asira, the co-wife is also prohibited. And that's exactly the formula, the structure of our Mishnah, of Arayas, lists of women that are Aser to the surviving brother, and their Isur transfers upon the, or replicates itself upon the co-wife. So, according to Rav Ashi's question, we're in effect reinstating Levi's suggestion of why is an Imoy Anusas Oviv included in the Mishnah? Omar Lei. So Rav Kahana answers. Be'achvisa, be careful with this word. Read it. Achvisa means brotherhood. Be'achvisa dehetera komairi. With our Mishnah speaks about legitimate brothers. Be'achvisa deisura loy komairi. However, with brothers that are illegitimate, we are not discussing. It might be obvious, but Reuven's brother is an illegitimate child. He is a mamzer. The rape of Yankiv, of his daughter-in-law, is a strictly Torah-forbidden form of intimacy. So the child that resulted from that strictly forbidden form of intimacy, punishable, by the way, by execution, produces a son that's called Achvisa de Isura, a brother, but he's through Isur, through an illegitimate bonding. The Gemara continues, V'afalpikein, and even so, even though we have proven till this point, in fact, the entire Omid of Gemara is designed to show why our Mishnah should not include the case of Imoy Anusas Aviv. Well, with all of that, and by the way, all of that was presented as a response to Levi's suggestion. With all of that having been said, though, Bodka Levi b'masnise. The word bodka means added. We should point out Levi was a great Talmudic figure that lived at the historical point of connection between the Mishnayos and the Mishnaic period, the Tanaic period, and the Amoraic period. He is amongst a few luminaries that compiled Tanaic sources, call them additional sources to the Mishnayos, often referred to as Brisos. So Levi included the case of Imoy Anusas Aviv in his Tanaic literature, even though it cannot be included in our Mishnah. The Toni Levi. Levi has the following teachings, and you'll see here he includes that very case of Imoy Anusas Aviv in the list of Arayas that exempt their co-wives from Chalitza Yibum. What does Levi's source say? Imoy Peomim Poteres Sarasa Peomim Eino Poteres Sarasa. One's mother can fall to her son in a Yibum situation, so that we can say that one's mother at times exempts her co-wife, and at times she doesn't exempt the co-wife. Ketzad, what is an example of Imo so we have Oiso Imoi Nisuas Aviv. A person's mother is married to his father. We'll say that is a regular family structure. Venises le Ochiv me Aviv. And this woman, we'll say Shimon's mother, after Shimon's father, call him Yankiv, died. So Shimon's mother went and married Shimon's half-brother, Reuven. Now that is not allowed. There is in fact no marital bond formed. The reason for that is that the woman we just described was married to Reuven's father. That's called Ashes Aviv. Ashes Aviv is one of the high-level prohibited arayas, forbidden relations, and if one attempts to create a marital bond with them, nothing is created. There's no bonding. There's no tfisas kedushin. So Reuven married Shimon's mother, but Shimon's mother was married to Reuven's father, Umes, and then Reuven died, leaving no sons. Zuhi Imo Shein Poteres Sarasa. If Reuven, who died, happened to have another wife, a co-wife, a legitimate wife, she would not be exempt from Yibum just because Reuven tried to marry his father's wife, Shimon's mother. So Reuven's co-wife would not be, the co-wife there would not be exempted. She wasn't considered a co-wife of an erva, because the erva wasn't married to Reuven. However, another case, Hoysa Imoi Anusas Aviv, if Shimon's mother was simply a woman that Yankiv, Shimon's father, had raped, Veniseis Le'ochiv Me Aviv, and Reuven, who was Shimon's half-brother from a common father, happened to marry that woman, the woman that his father had raped, Umes, and then Reuven died, leaving no sons, no children. Well, if Reuven dies, having married the woman his father raped, but Reuven left no children, so Reuven, upon his death, leaves this woman plus a co-wife, and they fall in front of whom? They fall to Shimon, the son of that rape victim. Zuhi Imo Shepoteres Sarasa. That is an example of a mother, Shimon's mother, exempting her co-wife, the other woman married to Reuven, Shimon's deceased brother, Even though our Mishnah teaches 15 arayas that exempt co-wives from Yibum and Chalit, so we have to add a 16th example like this case of Imoy Anusas Aviv. So that Levi, and this is Levi's Tanaic source, is saying that the case of Imoy Anusas Aviv also is an example of an erva that exempts the tzara, that Reuven's co-wife is exempted from Shimon's chalitzor yibum by virtue of the fact that Reuven, the deceased brother, had married Shimon's mother, who was in fact a rape victim. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side of our Gemara text. We have a tatna, say a subtopic, where we've written Lefi Levi Lomo Hacholets Liyavimtoi Lo Kotoni. According to Levi, that is into adding additional examples, why isn't this case of Cholets Liyavimto not included? And we'll see what that is as we go on in the Gemara. Omale Reish Lakish LeRabbi Yochanan. LeLevi de Omar de'i nami kotani. According to Levi, that is willing to teach forbidden cases as examples of erva poteres sarasa. Now, that's a very short statement by way of the Gemara, but Rashi is very helpful. According to the Gemara, we proved already that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. And by virtue of the fact that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, the Imo Anusas Aviv, namely Reuven, Shimon's brother, Reuven could not have married the woman that his father had raped. And yet Levi includes that in his brisa. So according to Levi, that once, and not only did he include it in the brisa, but he said that that case should have been included in the Mishnah. So in effect, we're talking about a case that, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda, a forbidden case is featured. Namely, Reuven violated the halacha, because we're talking in terms of Rebbe Yehuda. Reuven violated the halacha and married the rape victim of his father. So according to Levi, that's willing to have included in our Mishnah forbidden cases. Listen, the Gemara continues, let the Mishnah include Hacholets Liyavimto, the Chozar V'Kitcho Meis B'Lodbonim, the case of a man participating in Chalitza. So, if we just imagine a simple case of Reuven and Shimon, let's say Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, where Reuven had died leaving no children, and Shimon did Chalitza with Reuven's widow. That's Cholets Liyavimto. Once Chalitza is done, you're not allowed to marry her anymore. However, we're talking about forbidden cases, because we're speaking in terms of Levi, in light of the fact that our Mishnah was Rebbe Yehuda, and Levi wanted to include the case of Imo Anusas Aviv, so why not include a case where Shimon did Chalitza with the widow of Reuven, and then Shimon turned around and violated the halacha and married her. That's v'chozar v'kidsha. Umeis b'lo bonim, and then Shimon died leaving no children. But upon Shimon's death, you have the, we'll call it the chalutza, plus a co-wife. Shimon had another wife. Demigu de'ihi asura, since she is Usur. And now we have to add a piece of information which we didn't see yet, but we didn't see that right now. It will be featured later in the Gemara. According to Reish Lakish, she, the chalutza. We spoke about Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi cannot marry the woman that his brother had done chalitza with. And if he does, it's punishable by kores. Because once a woman receives chalitza, she reverts to the original status of eshes ach, a brother's wife. She is usher to Levi, the surviving brother right now. She is usher to him, the iser kores. Therefore, if Shimon died leaving the chalutza and another wife, a co-wife, Shimon had two wives, we could say that since the chalutza is forbidden, sorasa nami asira, that sora is also forbidden. She's exempted from chalitza nibum. So why isn't this case of hachayz liyavimta v'chaz v'kitsha not included in the Mishnah? Omar lei, so Rabbi Yochanan answers, lefi she'eino b'tzoras tzora. Don't forget, our Mishnah spoke about, we referred to it as a chain reaction. The case of a co-wife of an erva not marrying the forbidden man, but marrying one of his brothers. But in this case, once Shimon did chalitza to Reuven's widow, and there remains after, besides Shimon, you have Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, you have a lot of brothers there. The co-wife that Shimon left upon his demise, in addition to the chalitza, he had a co-wife. That co-wife, not only can she not marry Levi, she cannot marry Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, or any of the other brothers for that matter. So that the model of tzoras tzora could not be created. And our Mishnah speaks about tzoras tzora also becoming forbidden. But the option of her going and marrying one of the other brothers doesn't exist. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan's answer to Reish Lakish. That was his answer to Reish Lakish. The Gemara asks, "Velemole, why doesn't he say Chayve Lavin he? The Chayve Lavin b'nei chalitza v'yibum ninhu. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say to Reish Lakish, you want to know why this case of Chayvetz Livimta V'chazer V'kitcha is not included in our Mishnah? You want to know? Not because it doesn't exist in the Tzoras Tzora scenario, but for another reason. Because our Mishnah speaks about exemption from Chalitza. But a man, after doing chalitza, in our case, Shimon had done chalitza with Reuven's widow. The remarriage of Shimon to that chalitza is a lav, a negative command. The chayve lavin, a woman whose prohibition to the yavam, upon Shimon's death, we say, falls to Levi in a Yibum scenario. What level of prohibition is there between Levi and the Chalutza? A lav, a negative command. And when you go through the Sugya, the Gemara goes on, later on this Omid, we'll see what that Pasuk is. But that level of prohibition is called a chayve lavin, a negative command, not a chiyuv kores. And chayve lavin are b'nei chalitza v'yibum ninhu. They are subject to the rules of chalitza and yibum. So even though there is a prohibition, nevertheless there is another mitzvah, an opposing mitzvah, the mitzvah of yibum, which will supersede the negative command of chalutza, And that's why it's not taught in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah deals with a list of women that are exempt altogether from chalitz and yibum. That's not the case in where Shimon had done chalitza to Reuven's widow, then married her, then died, leaving brothers. The brothers are subject to chalitza with that woman. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that answer to Reish Lakish instead of the answer that he did give of She'enom B'tzaras Tzora? The Gemara answers, L'dvorav Ka'omar Lei. Rabbi Yochanan was speaking to Reish Lakish on Reish Lakish's terms. Now, we didn't elaborate on this yet, but we mentioned very briefly that the issue of Chalutza is a machloikis Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, we had pointed out that the case of Choyleitz Liavinto, the Chozer V'Kitsha, the Chalutza, we pointed out before, was Osir Be'isur Kores to the surviving brothers. So Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't agree with that, Rabbi Yochanan classifies the chalutza as not a chiyuv kores, not a severe level erva, but rather as a forbidden woman on the level of a lav, of a mere negative command, not chiyuv kores. Rabbi Yochanan that's his own opinion, but Rabbi Yochanan was answering Reish Lakish, would raise the question on Reish Lakish's terms. And that's what the Gemara means when it says L'dvorav Ka'amalei. Rabbi Yochanan answered Reish Lakish on his terms. L'didi, says Rabbi Yochanan, as far as I am concerned, Chayve Lavin Heim. The Chalutza is forbidden, but only as a mere Chiyuv Lav, a negative command to any of the surviving brothers. The Chayve Lavin B'nei Chalitza V'yibul Ninu. The Chiyuv Lav, level Isser, is not exempt from chalitza nibum, and therefore she doesn't belong in our Mishnah, which speaks about exemptions. Ela lididcha, but according to you, Reish Lakish, chayve krisus ninhu, the chalutza is prohibited to the other brothers as a chiyuv kores, and as such, the chiyuv kores co-wife could not have married any of the other brothers in order to create the tzoras tzora chain reaction. And as a result of that, it doesn't belong in our Mishnah. So reading that line again, L'didcha chai b'krisis ninu, the answer then is L'fi she'enon b'tzoras tzora. So just to review this last point, Reish Lakish had suggested, why not include Choyleitz Liavimta V'Chotzer V'Kidsha in our Mishnah according to Levi? So there are two answers to that question. One is answering Reish Lakish on Reish Lakish's terms, and the answer there was because you can't create the Tzoras Tzora scenario. The other answer would be Rabbi Yochanan in his terms is it doesn't belong, that case of Choyleitz Liavimta V'Chotzer V'Kidsha doesn't belong in our Mishnah because it is subject to chalitza, and our Mishnah speaks about women that are not subject to chalitza. And now we go into that very case. We have a note on this side under the Mivneh heading. The bow tie shape appears. Havlotas Sugya Chadosha. We're accentuating the beginning of new discussions with this marking. So you'll see a bow tie appears here, and on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, there is another bow tie introducing another new discussion. At this point in the Gemara, we are going to spell out in the Gemara text that which we were working with orally in the last few minutes of our shiur. Itmar hacholitz liyavinto v'chozer v'kidsha. So you have to once again imagine you have Reuven and Shimon. If we need, we add other brothers later on, but Reuven died, leaving a widow. Shimon did chalitza with her. That is that the widow removed Shimon's shoe, thereby freeing her to marry, releasing her from the Yibum bond. V'chazav v'kitsha. But instead of her going, instead of Reuven's widow going and marrying someone else, she was then married by Shimon, who had done chalitza with her. As far as the continuation of the Gemara is concerned, imagine there are other brothers. There's Levi, Yehuda, etc. Omar Reish Lakish. You'll see that with this marking, we highlight the names Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Omar Reish Lakish, who ein chayav al hachalutza kores, vo'achin chayovim al hachalutza kores. The one who did the chalitza, Shimon, in our example, his retaking of her is not punishable by kores. However, if one of the brothers, this other brothers, Levi or Yehuda, do take her, they are punishable by kores. What is the nature of their violation? They have violated the erva of Eishes Ochiv. Eishes Ochiv shelo b'mokom mitzvah. Once she was released by chalitza, so there's no longer any mitzvah to do yibum with her. So what? She's reduced to the basic prohibition of Eishes Ochiv. She is a woman that had been married to Reuven, their brother. Brother's wife. Al Hatzora. Now, in the case of Shimon having done chalitza with Reuven's widow, there were also other wives that Reuven had. So Al Hatzora, those are the co-wives, Bein Hu, Bein Achim, whether we speak about Shimon himself who did the chalitza, or Shimon's brothers, Chayovin Al Hatzora Kores. Intimacy with the co-wife, the non-chalitza or the non-chalitza participant, generates a chiyuv kores, whether we speak about the Shimon himself who did chalitza with the first wife, or Shimon's brothers. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, "Bein hu ubein hu achin." Whether you're speaking about Shimon who did the chalitza, or Levi, Yehuda, other brothers that were part of that family, einon chayovin, there is no kores, lo ala chalutza kores, v'lo ala tzora kores. There is no kores with regard to their intimacy with the chalutza herself, or with any of her co-wives. And here we continue. Notice we have a double underline marking that will highlight my time with the Reish Lakish and later Rabbi Yochanan's response to that. My time on the Reish Lakish. Why is Reish Lakish, who, by the way, represents a more severe approach? What is the basis? Omar Krah. The Pasuk says, Asher lo yiboneh. This Pasuk is referring to a case of chalitza, where the surviving brother releases the Yavama and does not, Yibonah means doesn't build the name of his deceased brother. And we darshan from this pasuk, Kevon Shelo Bona, Shuvlo Yibonah. Once he does Chalitza and doesn't build the name of his deceased brother, doesn't create a family to build the name of his deceased brother who left no children, shuv lo yibonet. That's it. No, there's no more chance to build. Meaning, once you release her through chalitza, you cannot marry her. Ihu hu dekoy v'lo yibonet. Lo yibonet is a term you see in the pasuk, which in effect is a negative command. It's a lav. A lav is in this sukkah distinguished from a, a violation resulting in kores. So Ihu, that's a reference to the one that did the act of chalitza, that participated in the chalitza. So he falls under the heading of lo yibonet, the negative command. Avol echov, the brothers, the other brothers, kidekaimi kaimi, they remain as they were. What does that mean, they remain as they were? What was her previous prohibition to them? Eshesach, she was the wife of their brother. So that, and that Ashes Ach, if a man has intimacy with his brother's wife, is guilty of Kores. So they, the other brothers, remain as they were with the original Chiyuv Kores. Furthermore, the Allah Dida, who decoy below Yiboneth? And it's only with respect to that particular woman, the woman that removed the shoe, that we can say there is a simple lav, ha, sara. But as far as if they're co-wives, kide kaimi kaimi, the co-wives remain in their original prohibited status of eshes ach, carrying with it a chiyuv kores. So Reish Lakish, looking at this pasuk of asher lo yiboneh, limits the mild lav violation to the brother who chose to do chalitza, and only with respect to the woman that did the chalitza. All the other brothers, with regard to the chalutza, and with regard to any co-wives, would be bekores. Rabbi Yochanan's response, mi iko midi, could there possibly be anything, the me'ikora, that at the outset, before any, just at the outset, meaning at the time that Reuven dies, e boy high cholitz, v boy high cholitz, Shimon could have done the chalitza, Levi, any one of the brothers could have done the chalitza, v boy lehahi cholitz, v boy lahi cholitz. Reuven left a couple of wives. Any one of those women could have been the ones to do the chalitza. So that at the point that Reuven died, all options were open vis-a-vis all of the brothers and all of the co-wives. And at that point, so we'll call it at the roll of the dice, so to speak. Any one of them, of the brothers, vis-a-vis any one of the widows, could have entered a simple lav. I hope you don't fall for the similarity between the word lav and love, but it has some meaning over here. Any one of the surviving brothers, with regard to any one of the surviving widows, could have fallen into the love relationship. V'hashto koy alo b'koreis, and now, only because one of the brothers decided to participate in chalitza with one of the widows, all the others turn into a koreis level violation? That's hard to imagine. That's Rabbi Yochanan's approach. And he continues. How does Rabbi Yochanan then, in fact, come to the conclusion that once chalitza is done, they all turn into a lav level violation and not kores? Elohihu shlichusa de'achin kovid. Shimon, who survived Reuven, along with Levi, who the Yisachar's woman, Shimon, who did the chalitza, he acted as an agent for the rest of the brothers. Shlichus of the Achim Kovid. So that with Shimon's act of chalitza with one of the surviving widows, Shimon represented all of the brothers. So just like Reish Lakish is willing to concede that there is a lav level violation with regard to the cholitz himself, so too as with regard to all of the brothers, because he is their agent. And likewise, the individual widow that removed the shoe from Shimon, she was doing so as an agent on behalf of her other co-wives. So just like she enters a lav level violation, so too it is created on behalf of her co-wives as well. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish. And we're going to note, by the way, as the Gemara unfolds, this section we're going to refer to as the Reisha. Later, the Gemara will cite a section called the Seifa. And eventually, when we get to the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph, it'll be important to note that we have a Reisha and Seifa in front of us. So Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, Hacholeitz liyavimto v'chozar v'kidsha umeis. In the scenario that we had before, we can use that again here. Reuven died, leaving Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, leaving several brothers. Shimon does chalitza, and then marries her, and then dies without children. Tzricho chalitza min ha'achin. That woman, we'll call her the chalitza, she requires chalitza from the other brothers, from either Levi, Yehuda. Bishlamalidi, says Rabbi Yochanan, things don't work out well according to me, the amina, that I said, chayve lavin inu, that the relationship between the chalitza and the other brothers is a lav level prohibition. Hainu d'tzricho chalitza min achin. It's then understandable why the Tanaic source says chalitza is required, being that it's not a severe level prohibition. The necessity of doing chalitza remains. Ela l'iditcha, but according to you, Reish Lakish, that say that after Shimon did chalitza with Reuven's widow, the other brothers, Levi, Yehuda, etc., they are forbidden to her, to the chalitza, with a chiyuv kores. Amai tzricha chalitza. Why is there any necessity of doing chalitza? When you have an erva that is so forbidden, a kores level erva, no chalitza is required. That was the whole point of our opening mishnah of this masechta. That when you're dealing with severe level violations, kores level violations, no chalitza is required. She's totally free to marry anyone she wants without chalitza. So, just to repeat ourselves, according to you, Reish Lakish, that a chalitza reverts back to original Eishes Ach level prohibition, why should, upon Shimon's death, any chalitza be required? Now, Reish Lakish turns the tables and he responds to Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "U'letameich eima seifa." According to you, that the chalitza is a simple lav, what are you going to do with the continuation of that Tanaic source? Omad echad mino achin. One of the brothers, in a case where the choleitz did not marry her, but one of the other brothers, Omad echod mino achin v'kidsha. So, just to continue the story, Shimon had done chalitza, and after Shimon did chalitza, Levi married her. So Levi married the chalitza, Levi married the widow of Reuven, Levi himself, not having done chalitza with her, he married her. But she was a chalitza. It says, Ein lo alav klum. Upon Levi's death, there is no necessity of doing anything. If the Mishnah backs up your, Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, your opinion, that a chalutza is a chiyuv lav, amai ein lo olav klum. Why is there no necessity for anything, not even chalitza? Omar Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes answers, we'll say, in on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan, Seifa Ason Rabbi Kiva. The Seifa is authored by a unique Tanaic opinion. Diomar ein kiddushin toivsin b'chayvei lavin. Rabbi Kiva is a, we'll call it a unique opinion, that says that not only women that are prohibited by the severe penalty of kares, is there no marital bond formed, but even women that are prohibited on a lav level prohibition, a negative command level prohibition, if one marries them, there is no marital bond formed. If there's no marital bond formed, so upon the death of the man that was living with her, there is no yibum or chalitza requirement. Yibum or chalitza is a mitzvah that comes about only upon the demise of a brother who was married to the woman. But if you hold, like Rabbi Akiva, that chayvei lavin, there's no tfisas kedushin, and chalitza creates, granted, it creates a chiyuv lav, namely, on Rabbi Yochanan's terms, that it's a chiyuv lav. However, the seifa is authored by Rabbi Akiva that says, ein kedushin tefsin v'chayvei lavin. And therefore, when Levi married the chalutza of Shimon, who was Reuven's widow, there was no bond formed with Levi's marriage to her. And therefore, upon Levi's death, there's nothing that needs to be done. The Gemara asks a technical question. The listening, why doesn't the Seifa spell out, L'divrei Rabbi Akiva, ein law or law of klum? Spell that point out, that according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no necessity of anything. There's no chalitza nor yibum. So now, that point, the Gemara, the very top of Yud Aleph Amalav, says, kashya, that's left as a technical difficulty. And throughout the Shas, when you see technical difficulty, you understand that it means just that. It's a technical point, but it's not a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So just to summarize, the bulk of this Omid of Gemara featured the case of Hachoylitz Liavimta V'chazer V'kitsha, a chalutza who was then was subsequently married by one of the brothers after chalitza was done. We saw a machlokis Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We saw the shitas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish figuring prominently even before they were actually presented in the Gemara's text, as part of a discussion involving Shitas Levi and who should be included in our Mishnah. Then we saw Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish at the source, so to speak, where they appeared in diamonds and presented their respective Shitas regarding the Chalutza's status after, of course, Chalitza was done. What is her status to the Cholates and to the other brothers? As the daf continues on daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara will be making reference to this source. So we continue, even though we're spilling over a little bit on our daf Yomi quota, but since the ideas are very fresh, we're going to now look at this Tanaic source that we saw here at the bottom of Yud Amud Beis, the Reisha and Seifa. And we're going to see how Rav Ashi and Ravina present the source. Rav Ashi, Savar Law Kireish Lakish. Rav Ashi takes the position of Reish Lakish that a chalutza becomes a chiv koreis to the other brothers. Umitaritz Law Kirebi Shimon. And aligns, we'll say, the Reisha and Seifa by assuming the opinion of Rabbi Shimon with regard to the topic of Eishes Achiv Shelohoya Ba'ilamo. Now, the case of Eishes Achiv Shelohoya, we spent a lot of time in previous Shiurim discussing, so as we go along in our Gemara, we're going to be working with the assumption that you're familiar with that concept of Eishes, Achiv Shelohoya Ba'olamo. And when we speak about Reb Shimon, we might recall, my hope is that we do recall, that according to Reb Shimon, there was a possibility of an actual bonding marriage, Tfisas Kedushin, involving Eishes Achav Shelo Ba'olamo. So, with Rav Ashi's approach, which we haven't seen yet, we will be able to explain the Reisha and Seifa of the source we just read through the eyes of Reish Lakish, on the premise or on the assumption that we accept Shitas Reb Shimon. Ravina, Savalok Reb Yochanan, Umetaretz Kirabonan. Ravina, on the other hand, accepts Reb Yochanan's position that a chalutza creates a prohibition of a lav level prohibition with regard to all of the brothers, and will explain the source according to Shitas Rabbanan. Rabbanan meaning those that argued with Reb Shimon regarding Eishes Ochiv Shaloi HaBolomo. Again, I know we're sounding a little repetitious, but we spent a lot of time in a recent shiur regarding Eishes Ochiv Shaloi HaBolomo, so I don't want to go over all of that again for the benefit of those that already learned it. On the side of the Gemara, we have a new marking. You notice a house marking, the Mivneh, and this introduces the two opinions we just saw: Rav Ashi and Ravina. Shnei Gishos LaHasbara Moker SheBesoif Yud Amud Beis SheLo Yikshe Reisha LaSeifa. Unfortunately, I didn't make this point at the beginning of this daf, at the top of Yud Aleph, but truth be told, the Reisha and Seifa, without any Gemara intervention, would appear to be contradictory. The Reisha suggesting that the Chalitza creates a need eventually for the Chalitza does require Chalitza down the road, and the Seifa indicating that once a woman is a Chalitza, the Seifa indicates there is no need for any Chalitza down the road. According to the Reisha, the impression we got is that the Chalitza is a lav level prohibition, and according to the Seifa, the impression one would get is that the Chalitza is a kores level prohibition. So that is what would appear to be contradictory. What Rav Ashi and Ravina will do is mold or mend that, fuse the Reisha and Seifa. The Gemara. Rav Ashi sovar lo kereish lakish umitaretz lo kerebi Shimon. And what you see in the frame is a melding together of the Reisha and Seifa. Hachoyleitz liyavimto, the Chozer v'kidsha. Reuven died. Shimon does chalitza, and then Shimon marries her. Tzricha chalitza min ho'achin. Upon Shimon's death, then chalitza is necessary. Man achin, when we say a brother will do chalitza, so who do you have in mind? And by the way, we should go over a little chart that we have included here. On the side, you see a chart with numbers. The numbers indicate the order of events. So you see that Reuven is married. The squiggle line creates a marital bond in our charts. That Reuven is married to a woman, to an Isha. First stage is Reuven dies. Number two, you can see Shimon does chalitza with her, and then he marries her. Number three, you see Levi, and we indicate in parentheses, which is a point the Gemara will make, Levi is then born. So Levi is born into a world where the woman is married
to Shimon.
After Levi is born, Shimon dies, leaving the woman that he had done chalitza with and then had remarried. So the Tanaic source that says one who had done chalitza and then remarried her, she requires chalitza from the brothers. In the bracketed section, the bracket note indicates Hasagram kind of a mokarabo matarosin levoida ketes shehino hezbrah gemara. These are sections where the Gemara interrupts, so to speak, to explain the Tanaic information that precedes it. But we don't have to skip it. Just realize that what comes right after the brackets is the continuation of that source. So in the story we just presented, we said that upon Shimon's death, so chalitza is necessary. Chalitza by one of the other brothers. Man achin, who are the other brothers? Achin hayiloidim. Brothers that were born after Shimon had married the chalitza. That is what needs to be emphasized. First Shimon married the chalitza, and then a new brother was born. For that to operate, for that to be considered a bonding between Shimon and the chalitza, vis-a-vis Levi, who was born after Shimon married her, you would have to hold like Reb Shimon. That's what Keman, Reb Shimon. This is in accordance with Reb Shimon, who holds that Yibam ulebesoif noilad, that where Yibum is done and then a brother is born, that's not considered a standard case of Achiv Shelohi Balomoy. The case of Achiv Shelohi Balomoy, needless to say, was one of the forbidden cases that we saw in the Mishnah opening, the Masichta. But this particular order of events where Yibum was done and then a brother was born is not the violation of Eishes Achiv Shelohi Balomoy. Because when Levi was born, he was born seeing the woman married to a brother that they coexisted together with in the world. Omad echod min hanoladim v'kidsha ein lo olav klum. However, if let us say in that case where was here we have to change the order of events. Namely, Reuven died, and before Shimon marries her, Levi is born. So that in this case, Levi is born seeing the widow of Reuven as of yet not married. And then the Kidsha. Let's read that again. Omad echad min hanolodim v'kidsha, and at that point, the choletz marries her. Ein lo olav klum. There is no necessity upon his death for any chalitza to be done. Now, come on. To say that there's no need for any chalitza indicates that you're speaking about a kores situation. To say that, you would have to go Kiresh Lakish. That's the opinion we saw earlier. Resh Lakish's opinion that chalitza creates a kores prohibition. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us just go over this, the Seifa, by the use of the chart that we have included on the side of the Gemara, just to make sure that we've got this clear. Reuven, you can see, is number one. He dies. Of course, we're looking at the chart that you can see is marked with the double star on the side of the Gemara. Reuven dies leaving a wife. That's the first thing that happens. You see number two? Shimon does chalitza with her. Where's number three? After Shimon does chalitza, Levi is born. Now Levi is born into a world where Reuven's widow is not married to anybody. This is the point of contrast to the Reisha case. If you notice in the Reisha case, when Levi was born, he was born after Shimon had married Reuven's widow. Here Levi is born not seeing her married. He's born after chalitza is done. And at that point, she has a simple chalutza status. The Gemara points out that, according to Reish Lakish, is a kores relationship. After Levi is born, and the kores relationship has been established, so then Shimon, stage four, marries her. The marriage at that point doesn't alleviate the kores problem. Upon Shimon's death, the fifth stage, the Brisa says, Ein lo alav klum, there is no necessity of anything being done. And this is a situation of an eishes ochiv sheloi ha'balamo that is not solved by Shimon's marrying Reuven's widow. Because at the point that Levi was born, it's not the case of Yibeim Ulebasof Nolad, which was what we saw in the previous case. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Ravino Sovar Lo Karebi Yochanan Umetaretz Lo Alibo de Rabbonan. Ravina holds like Rabbi Yochanan that the Chalutza is an Isur Lav, and will explain the Reisha and Seifa in the path of the Rabbonan and their approach to Eishes Achav Shaloi Balam, which is a much more restrictive approach than that of Reb Shimon. According to the Rabbonan, in all cases of Eishes Achav Shaloi Balam, there is, whether it's Yibam Sof Nod or Nod Sof Yibam, so there's no Tfisas Kedushin. So now let's see how Ravina resolves the Reisha and Seifa. Hacholitz Liavimto, V'chozer v'kidsha. Tzricho chalitza mina achin. If one did chalitza, so let's say Shimon did chalitza, and then Shimon married her, and then Shimon dies leaving no children, chalitza is necessary. Man achin, achin hanoladin. Which brothers? Brothers that were around originally. Brothers, we're not talking about any brothers born after any events. Brothers that were there from the outset. Those are noladim, those that were there originally. And we say that chalitza is necessary. Keman, k'Rabbi Yochanan. That is in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan, that there is a mere isur lav between the chalitza and the other brothers, Levi, Yehuda, etc. So even though Shimon did something wrong by having married the Reuven's widow after doing chalitza, it's a mere lav-level prohibition for them, for Levi, Yehuda, to marry the chalitza, which is a lav-level prohibition. So chalitza is necessary. However, Omad Echad min ha-yiloidim v'kidsha ein lo alav klum. If after Reuven died, regardless of whether Shimon made any move yet, even if he did chalitza and married her, or did just chalitza, but a brother was born after Reuven's death, that's Yilodim, the Kitsha, and then Shimon married the woman he did chalitza with, ein lo alav klum. There is no necessity for any chalitza. Because those brothers that survived Shimon's death, they had not been born when Reuven had been married to her. As a result of that, we've created a case of Eishes Ochiv Shelo Hayaba Lamo. And Rashi elaborates that when we speak about these brothers born after Reuven's death, they might have been born not either after the Chalitza, or even if they were born after Shimon married her, which according to the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, would have been an okay case, not according to the Rabbonan. And hence, Ein lo lav klum, keman k'Rabbonan. To say that there is no bonding whatsoever, that figures in accordance with the sheet of the Rabbonan, that from the original Nefila Leivum, the original appearance as a Yevama, that means upon Reuven's death, any brother born afterwards is labeled an Ach Shelo Hayabalamo, and hence Reuven's widow is the wife of, she's an Eishes Ach Shelo Hayabalamo. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached. If you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Mark Demoris, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.